The following podcast is brought to you by BetDSI.com. The NFL and college seasons are heating up, so what are you doing on the sidelines? Get in the game with BetDSI. They've been paying winners for 20 years now, and with a reputation for great service and fast payouts, it's easy to know why BetDSI is the place to play, win, and get paid. Anytime, anywhere. BetDSI has every wager you could ever imagine, whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, UFC, esports, global sports. I mean, if it's happening, BetDSI is putting a line on it. You can even bet on politics and celebrities. Plus, you can bet live with BetDSI's live betting option. So stop hanging out on the sidelines and get started with BetDSI. You'll get some extra bang for your buck right now, too. BetDSI is offering you podcast listeners an extra 25% bonus, but only when you use the promo code WIN125. Don't leave your money on the table. Use promo code WIN125 and get the special podcast listener 125% bonus. Just visit BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com and use promo code WIN125. Don't stand on the sidelines. To win it, you have to be in it. Visit BetDSI.com right now. That's BetDSI.com. Promo code WIN125.
Opinions of Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from Jackson's Grill House and Bar, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on SportsMap 94.1.
Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
Carmelo Anthony is gone.
Anybody who listens to this show knows that I'm not an I told you so guy. But all you guys who thought Carmelo Anthony was the missing piece to this team, someone who sounds a lot like me told you so. But you guys are, yeah, but he's instant offense. No, he's a trash can. He can't play anymore.
He's just a name now. Yeah. That used to be really good. 936 asking, could the greatest show on radio speculate on the return of Foreman? Just curious. They've got 21 days to sort of evaluate him and then determine whether or not they're going to bring him back this year. So he's practicing, which is a good sign. I kind of get the sense at this stage of the season, you might be better off just saying, let's go ahead and punt on this till next year. But I think if he's back and even 90%, he could help this team.
But I also think that his long-term health is more important than what he can give you this year.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz, hour number three, 713-780, ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page, find the Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at my name Jong, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show. You know the number for that. We are at Jackson's Grill House and Bar. Barker Cypress in Cypress, and I have to say, I am glad I made the drive to this place.
Yeah, me too.
This is a really nice place. Food's fantastic. Good alcohol selection, great atmosphere. Kind of has the nice, hey, let's go out to dinner vibe, but it also has the nice, hey, I'm going to come sit at the bar and drink all night and eat appetizers.
Yeah.
So, and thanks to Jason for having us out here, because this is a really cool place. I'm very glad we got to do this. I know you were a little freaked out by the trees at first.
I was just pointing out it's a fancy place. Yeah,
there's something in a foreign language in trees. When you first see that, when that's your first impression, it's a little bit of a concern. So do we have Brad yet, John? Or
so get off my lawn says 27 rings ball bag in reference to me saying that no Yankee finished higher than 12th. Which... Then I looked at his profile, and he's not only a Yankees fan, he's also a Duke basketball fan and hashtag Roll Tide. So he's had a really tough sports fan
life. So this is just the ultimate front runner guy.
Right.
Okay.
I mean, I'm sure he doesn't like the Golden State Warriors. I'm sure he doesn't like the New England Patriots.
I mean, obviously. Does he follow you?
I don't know.
That's
Yeah.
Okay. So that's my new thing. If you don't follow me and
And they call you a ball bag?
Just auto block.
Oh, I don't really care.
Yeah, I've gotten good at that. I block like one or two a week now.
I don't even dislike the Yankees. I'm not against
the Yankees.
Yeah,
I know. But I get the impression that's an account that is the ultimate front runner account. But, oh, well. Waiting on Brad Powers.
Brad's tweeting. He tweeted 4 minutes ago, I know he's alive.
Well, he was also finishing off the show, I'm sure.
Right. He tweeted a totally square five-team money line parlay.
Oh, really?
Ohio State, North Carolina State, A&M, Washington State, and Temple, $100 to win $111.
Okay.
So, I think Brad...
those are all money line. Yeah,
okay. Yeah, money line.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I don't mind that.
Totally square, he calls it. How's it going, Brad? At game.com.
Join
us. What's
How
going on, buddy?
Doing?
We're hanging in there. We were just going over your five-team parlay that you tweeted out.
Yeah, just presented that on Straight Out of Vegas, and per RJ Bell, he said, hey, go ahead and tweet that one out. Two straight winners on that one, so we're having a decent season on the totally square five-team money line parlay. Don't try it at home, I would say that.
I do that every once in a while. Typically what I'll do is I'll take a team that's a short favorite, like say Seattle tonight, and I'll just play them as a money line, and then I'll add in one or two teams like that I feel like are locks, and just to juice up my initial bet. But yeah, I'm not opposed to the occasional money line parlay. Let's get into the games this week. I think that there's some interesting numbers, and I guess I'll ask you first, because we've talked about this today. How does the news about Brohm affect your take on the Purdue Wisconsin game this week?
Yeah, I was already leaning towards the side of Wisconsin, and reason being, I mean, I like historical outliers. So between these two teams, the last 12 years, Wisconsin has beat Purdue 12 straight times. And now Wisconsin, for the first time in that stretch, find themselves an underdog. So historically speaking, these two teams have had a baseline, and now you're telling me, yeah, I get it. Purdue's exceeded expectations. Wisconsin has fallen short, but I think the number's a little bit pricey, and I get it. Wisconsin's gotten some money this week. Already leaning towards Wisconsin, but after this news was breaking today, that has me considering Wisconsin as a like for me. So that means I will be betting Wisconsin.
The game tonight here in town where it's Tulane and Houston. Houston's defense has been so awful. Really, it's been all season. The last 2 weeks, it's been particularly brutal. I love the over here. I think Tulane's going to score a bunch of points on these guys. And that number has opened at 13.5. It's now down to 7.5. You got any thoughts on that one?
Yeah, and here's a clear distinction between, I would say, the pros and the Joes. The Joes bet teams. The pros bet numbers. And at the current number of 7.5, I'm going to lean with Houston here because, first off, my numbers call for it to be 8.5, 9. So this big line moves crossed over and through the number that I already had. But I don't think it's a great spot for Tulane. Third road game in 4 weeks. Short week for them and traveling. Houston's been at home 3 of the last 4 weeks, and the only road trip was up there to Dallas. So I like the Cougars here at the current number of -7.5.
What's your thoughts on that total?
Slight lean towards the over. I will say one thing in your behalf is, you know, Tulane's been a much more run-dominated team, but last week they showed some consistency through the air, throwing for more than 300 yards. I think that's a good look for you that Tulane can be well-balanced on offense.
Nebraska and Michigan State, a couple teams that look like they're headed in totally opposite directions. Nebraska's finally showing some fight. They are a home dog to a Michigan State team that has every reason to just roll over and quit on this season. What do you think about that game?
Yeah, I agree with that take. You know, you look at Nebraska, I get it, 3-7. A lot of people have thought the season's been disappointing, but the reality is Nebraska's much better than their record, 0-4 in games decided by 5 points or less. And I thought this was a key stat. Offensively, Nebraska, they've gained at least 450 yards in 7 straight games. That's a school record. So the Turner Gill teams in the early 80s with Mike Rozier, they didn't do it. Tommy Frazier in the mid-90s. Scott Frost, when he was the quarterback, couldn't do what Nebraska's offense has done this year. I think Nebraska's one of the more underrated teams in the country. They beat Sparty outright.
Obviously, big game between Notre Dame and Syracuse. Notre Dame running out of places to trip up. I don't think they trip up here, but that's an awful big number at 10 I'm seeing right now. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, and if you really shop hard, I think you can find some 10.5s out there. But I'm 10 or 10.5, and I obviously would prefer the hook there. But I'm going to be on the Syracuse side on two different reasons. Notre Dame has had a great season. Their defense has been consistent all year. But the question I have about that defense for Notre Dame isn't necessarily personnel, but level of competition. And Notre Dame's defense hasn't faced a top 30 offense as far as scoring in the entire country. Syracuse not only top 30, but top 10 in the country. So I think Syracuse can have success as far as moving the football against Notre Dame. And also Dino Babers, he's the head coach for Syracuse. You know, he's a very motivational and emotional type of guy, especially in the underdog role. There's a little bit of extra vigor. 9-2 against the number, last 11 games as a dog. Give me the orange.
So I always, I've got two games on my radar this week that involve the Service Academy schools. One of them I'll go to first is Air Force Wyoming. I don't really care for a side, but it feels like a really good under game. These are both two teams who stop the run well. It's going to be horrible weather in Wyoming, and two teams who, quite frankly, can't throw the football. What are your thoughts on that game going low?
Yeah, I agree with that, although it's one of the lowest totals on the board. But, you know, Wyoming has had great success defending the option. You look at the last 9 series meetings, Wyoming's covered all 9 of them. 9-0 against the spread against Air Force the last 9 times they met. Air Force is great as a road dog. Why? Because they don't turn the football over. They run the football, and they're consistent on the defensive side of the ball. Yeah, I think it's a real close game down in the wire. And it's one of the lower scoring games of the week. I can't argue with you there.
And then the other one, and maybe I'm crazy for this, I haven't watched a single Colgate game this year, to be fair. So I don't watch a lot of FCS football, but I've watched Army a lot, and I know the key to beating Army is obviously stopping the run. Colgate is not a bad FCS team. In fact, they are 9-0 in the FCS. And when I was looking through their stats, of course, the first stat I look for when they're playing Army is, how do they defend the run? And it is really astounding. 1.9 yards per carry their opponents have this season against them. On the entire season, their opponents have gained 871 rushing yards in 9 games. So I thought that number was just fascinating. And I you know, the number for these FCS games comes out a little bit later in the week. I was hoping for 2 touchdowns. I'm getting 11.5. Is that foolish of me to just take that into account, that they're going to stop Army's run and Army's not going to be able to do anything else?
So this is why I like doing this show, guys. Army Colgate. I love getting these questions. In fact, this is the second time I've been asked about this game this week, so kudos to you for bringing it up. And now you've talked about some of Colgate's defensive numbers. How about this one, just the scoreboard? Colgate, in today's day and age where offenses dominate, Colgate's defense is allowing 3 points per game. 3 in the entire season, 3 points per game, and you're getting double digits with a very low total, lowest total on the board of 37. Yeah, give me Colgate here, plus the number. I think you're onto something.
Yeah, 29 points they've surrendered in their 9 football games, which I think is that's just fascinating to me. A game that I jumped on early, and Fred and I both liked, Minnesota, plus 3. Now you're looking at paying minus 2.5. Maybe I'm guessing it'll end up minus 3. Why such a big line move? And is that the side that you fall on?
Yeah, that was clearly the side I fell on. That was my best bet out of the Straight Out of Vegas. Or not Straight Out of Vegas, but the Dream Preview podcast was Minnesota. So we got ahead of the line move there. And what wasn't being priced into the line when it was 2.5, when it was 3, was quite simply, this is easy. I got a Northwestern team on one side that has nothing to play for. They already achieved their biggest goal. They wanted to win the Big Ten West. They're going to Indianapolis in a couple of weeks and play for the Big Ten Championship. On the other side, I got a Minnesota team that has everything to play for. What are they playing for? They're playing for a bowl game. They're sitting on 5 wins. They got Wisconsin next week. They haven't beat Wisconsin since I think George H.W. Bush was in the White House. It's been that long for Minnesota. So I think motivationally, Minnesota's got a significant advantage, and Minnesota's just been so much better at home this year than they've been away from home. And Minnesota really turned it on last week on the defensive side of the ball, made a coordinator change, and I watched that game against Purdue, and that was a totally different defense. Played lights out. They played fast. They didn't make mistakes. They weren't worrying too much about keys and whatnot. Yeah, I like the Gophers here, but obviously liked it at that much better number. Agree with the line move.
Let me ask you about this Michigan-Indiana game, which is interesting to me for a couple reasons. Michigan doesn't have – I mean, obviously they've got a lot to play for, but they're not going to want to go out and show everything when they've got Ohio State on deck. I think they're just looking to get out of here healthy. But Indiana kind of also has similar look ahead because they're trying to get bowl eligible, and they know they're not going to be bowl eligible this week, so maybe next week. Could you see this being like a game where Indiana keeps it close with Michigan, or do you think that they're just going to roll over as well and it's maybe just an under type game?
Yeah, I would lean towards the Indiana side, but the way you laid it out, and it was similar to what we did on the Dream podcast, we had a couple guys here that were on opposite sides, one like Michigan because of the questionable motivation for Indiana, the other one liked Indiana because of the questionable motivation for Michigan. And what I said was, hey, it sounds like both have questionable motivation. Are they really going to give a strong effort? Maybe they're, you know, dial it back on the offensive side of the ball, get into the game and get out. To me, it sounds like the under. So I think the most value in that one's under the total.
I guess the game of the week is Notre Dame and Syracuse. That's a game that a lot of people are going to be talking about. When I saw this number initially, I didn't play it, but my initial thought was, man, I like Notre Dame here.
I already asked about that game.
Oh, well, thank you, Fred. Let me finish, please. These teams, as they get closer to the end of the season, teams like Michigan, Notre Dame, obviously Alabama, do they tend to lay off in games where they're not playing elite competition, like as they go down the stretch here?
Excellent question. And I think it really depends on a team by team. Does the team need style points to get into the playoffs? And with the case of Clemson, Ohio, or Clemson, Alabama, and Notre Dame, I don't think so. Those teams went out, they're in. When it comes to some other teams that are trying to make a case for themselves that are lower in the rankings, like an Ohio State, like a Washington State, a West Virginia, and Oklahoma, I think those teams need some style points. So they're more likely to, you know, want some margin. But when it comes to some of these top teams, to me, it's just win it. Get in there, do everything you have to do to get the victory and get the heck out at this point.
How much more pressure, though, does that put teams like Notre Dame under? I mean, obviously, if this game winds up being close, you know, if they lose, they're probably out of this thing.
Yeah.
How much does that?
So. I got a bet with RJ and Fessick. They said, hey, one loss Notre Dame can make it. I said, no way. One loss Notre Dame, they're out. No chance. I got some significant action against those two guys where I might be having to put up my truck if they're right, because they took me at 4-1 for thousands of dollars.
Oh boy! Ooh, yeah, yep. That's a scary thought. Hey, one more game we talked about at the beginning of the show here, and want to see if you cooperate with us. I think both of us tend to like to look at these Hawaii games late, and depending on if you've had a good day or a bad day, we'll let you know how heavy you want to go in that Hawaii game, but I think we're both kind of leaning Hawaii this weekend against your boys there from Las Vegas. What are you thinking?
Well, I have my favorite bet of the week is on this game. And I tweeted it out early in the week, and I think some people were confused. I bet this game, believe it or not, I bet this game in August. And I got Hawaii +7. And if RJ was here, he'd be queuing me up some music right now, because we're not allowed to be talking about great bets that we made months in advance. But yeah, I identified it as a good spot for Hawaii back then, and the book made a mistake because everyone forgets that Hawaii played that week zero, and at that time they pulled an outright upset as a double digit dog. And they still had the lineup. I'm like, wow, you got to upgrade Hawaii significantly. Look what they just did. That book didn't. I won't reference it by names because I want to take advantage in the future of some of their stuff. But I'll be honest with you guys. At the current number, I'm a little scared. And I'm going to hedge back a little bit on that Hawaii +7 ticket. Why? Hawaii is brutal. Brutal as a favorite. How brutal? 1-16 against the spread. Last 17 games as a favorite. And I think some of it makes sense. People are trying to play catch-up on the Hawaii game at the end of the night. And if Hawaii's favored and you're in that catch-up mode, I think you'd be more likely to take the favorite in that regard. So makes sense that Hawaii is so terrible as a favorite. I'm going to lean with UNLV at the current number.
Well, damn. I guess you've got the option to hit the middle, which is always kind of nice.
Yeah, I do.
Speaking of teams that are just horrible when they're favorites, Texas, again, favored against Iowa State. Which side of that line do you fall on?
Yeah, I got concerns for both teams here. And I do lean at the current number. What is it, 2.5 with Texas?
2.5.
I'll lean with Texas in that regard. The worry I have is Texas's energy level. I mean, are you kidding me? 6 straight games decided by 7 points or less, banged up on the defense side of the ball. But on the flip side, Iowa State, I wasn't that impressed with them last week. I mean, they got outstated in every way but the scoreboard against Baylor. Baylor missed a couple field goals. They were short ones in like the 30-yard range. Got stopped on downs inside Iowa State's 15-yard line, not once but twice. Iowa State's one of their best players. Their running back, Montgomery, suspended for the first half. Current number, again, pros bet numbers, I'll take Texas.
You know, we were talking earlier about a team like Notre Dame. If they were to lose, would they fall out of the playoff mix? I think Fred and I both think Alabama could lose to Georgia and still make it. What happens if Clemson loses? Would they still be in?
I think Clemson's out. I just don't think the ACC's strong enough.
Their resume
year.
Wouldn't hold up.
No, I don't think it would hold up, even though they're clearly Clemson, the second-best team in the country. And a lot of it, you got moving variables. It depends, you know, if Alabama wins out, Notre Dame wins out, Michigan wins out, and say like an Oklahoma or West Virginia wins out, then those 4 teams would be in that instance. A lot of moving variables, but I think the big one, the nightmare scenario for the playoff committee is if Alabama loses. Then, I mean, two SEC teams in again. What if Notre Dame wins out? Then you're telling me 3 conference champions could be out. If you wanted playoff expansion, that's what you want. You want Alabama to lose that SEC title game because it'll be utter chaos.
Speaking of the SEC, I've got a couple of them here for you as they go to their week that you tweeted out about that doesn't mean anything. UAB.
They all mean something, Fred. Colgate Army means something.
UAB at A&M, 16.5 is the number I'm seeing now. UAB didn't cover last week, but they really get after the quarterback. A&M's had problems protecting Kellen Mond. I can't imagine they're that motivated against UAB. What do you think of the Blazers here getting 16.5?
Here's my worry. A lot of people are on the UAB side on this one, but very similar spot UAB had last year where they were getting talked up. Bill Clark's done an outstanding job there in rejuvenating that program, and they're going to be in the Conference USA championship game here in a couple weeks. But they were playing Florida in this very week last year. A Florida team had an interim coach, had a bunch of players off the team suspended, hurt players. And a lot of people bet UAB in that game, and UAB didn't take that one seriously, got crushed by a much lesser Florida team than what they're facing this week against Texas A&M. So I don't think Bill Clark put all his eggs into that basket. I'm not sure he's going to do so again here, especially with a banged-up quarterback. We'll see if Erdley can play for him. If he does, I'd lean on UAB because I'm not a fan of the backup. But if he doesn't play, I don't want the backup quarterback against that A&M defense.
And then we always have to ask you about the Rice Owls, and they're plus 42 at LSU. This is something I always like overs where I think a team is going to go over by itself. If you really think LSU is going to cover 42, then, you know, to me, it's pretty likely that they're going to go over 52. This is the first time I can remember seeing it within 10 points of the total. I'm going to be on the over here. Just kind of curious about your thoughts.
Yeah, it's a tough one for me. Keep in mind, LSU routinely takes the air out of the ball in these games. In fact, the last 12 times LSU's been favored by 40 points or more, they're 2-10 against the number. So a lot of times they don't like putting up big numbers here. And obviously they got a big game next week against A&M on deck. But, man, that does seem a little cheap. And Rice on the defense side of the ball hasn't been that strong. If push comes to shove, you say, hey, Brad, here's $20. What you going to bet on? I'd bet the over.
Let me ask you one more of those crappy SEC games. this one, I actually like the other side. I think Liberty has a shot to keep it close with Auburn. First of all, I think Auburn is way worse than what, you know, the average Joe thinks their name is. I don't think Auburn's a very good football team. But they also have look ahead to Alabama. It just seems like a spot where Liberty, who's, you know, they're fighting to get it. They've got, I think they can go to one bowl, the Cure Bowl, but I don't think that they can win this game, but I think they're going to fight like hell to try to. What do you think of that 28.5? Seems like such a big number when Liberty, I mean, they covered or they were within 21 last week against Virginia, and Virginia didn't have look ahead to the best team in the world.
Yeah, Auburn's another team that doesn't do well as a big favorite. In fact, as a 3-touchdown or more favorite since, you know, the last 5 years, they're 2-11-2. So just two covers out of a total of 15 games. The last 15, they've been favored by 3 touchdowns or more. I'm glad you brought up Liberty. I liked Liberty last week against Virginia, and that final score fell close to the number somewhat. Liberty still covered. But if you watch that game, Liberty wasn't that outclassed. In fact, I mean, they turned the football over 3 times. Virginia was fortunate in that one. Liberty had it close as far as the yardage in that one. So I think there's some slight value here on Liberty, a team that can put up points on the board. Look for them to get the backdoor cover.
All right, one more before we let you go. I know both these teams have been pretty disappointing, but Miami hasn't been able to score, and they're 6-point favorites at Virginia Tech. And I know Virginia Tech's got some issues this year, but it just seems like an awful lot of points in that stadium. And I'm kind of leaning Virginia Tech here. Just curious if you had any thoughts on that one.
Yeah, it's current number. I'm with you guys. I'm leaning on the Virginia Tech side. And, wow, I mean, if you're talking the game of the week as far as who have been the biggest disappointments in college football this season, this would be Exhibit A. I mean, I can't believe these two teams are playing, and really nothing is on the line as far as the Coastal Division between these two teams. Amazing. I'll say this. Miami, since that 10-0 start last year, how about this? 5-8. 5-8 straight up. 3-10 against the spread. Hurricanes have been a bad bet here the last 13 games, and yet everyone continues to bet on them. Give me Virginia Tech.
All right, that's Brad Powers. Follow him on Twitter at BradPowers7, and you can get his picks on pregame.com. Joins us every week, does a great job. Brad, fun times as always, man. We'll talk to you again next week.
All right, thanks, guys. Talk to you then.
Well, we probably won't be talking to him on Thursday because we won't be here.
Yeah, I think we'll give him Thanksgiving off.
Yeah, we'll have to adjust a little bit. Hey, guys, if you're planning your holiday meals, here's something to conclude. How about some Zumos? Maybe try the Party Time sausage. Maybe try the Boudin. Maybe try the Andouille sausage. All of it's great, and they've been at it since 1908. You're going to have any kind of family gatherings, man. Mix in some of the Zumos. I guarantee you, your family's going to love it. You want to score some points with them? This is the way to do it. And you know what? Maybe you got family members who hate you. They'll change their mind after they have some Zumos. And how about this? During deer season, you want to get your deer processed? Zumo's got a large variety of deer product options. Smoked sausage, green onion sausage, jalapeno and cheese sausage, breakfast pan sausage, boudin, ground chili meat, and jerky, just to name a few. They've got top-quality professional butchers that will ensure you the best quality products. And I'm telling you, those great Zumo seasonings that you are all sure to love. 2 drop-off locations, Houston inside the Beltway at 12634 East I-10. And in Beaumont at the Zumo Meat Company. So want to get your deer done, that's a way to do it. And if you're not into that, you just want some great sausage, you want some great boudin, just go by H-E-B, Kroger, Fiesta, and get Zumos, Z-U-M-M-O-S, and make it a Zumos weekend.
A RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from Jaxton's Grill House and Bar, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on SportsMap 94.1.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, live here at Jaxton's, as you just heard on the commercial. Really cool place. I am super glad that we came out here.
Yeah, it's a good spot.
Yeah, this is definitely a great date night place, and if you live in the area, I mean, the bar's fantastic, and I got to give Jason credit. He's really put together a nice thing here, and the food was magnificent. That's a 5-star out of 5-star for me on the food. So they may have just brought us the best stuff.
Because, that's possible. Yeah,
but, hey, I can speak for the steak and the quail and the stuffed shrimp. Those were terrific. All right, you know, we really haven't talked at all about any of the other NFL lines. You want to go through that?
Yeah, let's do it.
Obviously, but I think we're both like Seattle tonight.
We do.
So I'm actually going to – I've already got money on that one. So Panther -4.5 at Lion.
God, this is a tough one, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is.
And I feel like I've said that about every Panthers line this whole season because I don't really know what they are.
No, I just don't have a great feel for them. I know that they're better on offense than I expected and worse on defense, and they keep finding ways to win games. And the Lions, to me, are kind of have the feel of an 8-8 type Lion team.
Here's what I'm seeing about the Lions this year. The Lions are typically a team that no matter what else happens, they're going to score some points because Matthew Stafford sort of he just always gets his. Even if it's junk time. But Matt Stafford's getting sacked so much this year, which has never really happened to him a lot before. They just don't look like the same on offense.
I've talked a lot about that. Jim Bob Cooter saying he's got to find different ways to protect Stafford here and that's going to be a focus.
Yeah, it's a pass for me, but if I had to play, I think I'd play the Panthers.
I'm kind of with you. Falcons -3.5 now at home against the Cowboys. That number's down from 4.5. I may just sit on this a little longer and see if it gets to 3. Yeah, if it does, I'll take the Falcons.
Yeah, I'm kind of in the same boat as you. I don't really like the idea of giving these points, but I do think these teams are about even, and that I think that hook is sort of the thing that'll keep me off of it for right now. I feel like this might be when you think about it, the Cowboys are they're not a good offensive team, and they are an okay defensive team.
I think they're a pretty solid defensive team.
The Falcons are a bad defensive team and a good offensive team. So does that? I was trying to figure out which way that would lead me on an over-under, you know?
Yeah, I looked at that number a long time. I might lean over the 48.5 because I do think the Falcons at home offensively better than road Falcon. And then I think the Cowboys will score enough against the Falcons defense. So I might lean the over there.
Okay.
Bengals Ravens currently off the board. I got the Bengals at I think it was 4.5.
4.5.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what everybody said the number was going to be. It's another one that I just don't have a lot of interest in. I don't know what the Ravens are, especially without Joe Flacco. I don't think the Ravens are great with Joe Flacco, so I'm definitely not looking to play them without him. But just like last week, I don't want to play the Bengals without AJ Green.
Right.
They looked bad on offense last week.
Well, they never had a chance when the way the Saints came out and scored on their first five possessions. They just never had a chance in that game.
Well,
we're
talking a couple weeks in a row where the Bengals defense has given up tons of yards.
3 weeks in a row they've given up more than 500 yards.
Oh, God. That's an absurd number.
I just don't think the Ravens can get anywhere near that, though.
I don't think so, especially without Flacco. I don't think they can.
I know you like Vikings +2.5 Bear.
Yeah, that was one of the plays that I punched in early this week. I've got Minnesota +3. I think Minnesota, you could even play a money line.
I don't mind. I think if you're going to play this game, I think that's the way to go.
I think if you got 3, that's the way to go. If you don't get 3, I think money line is the way to go. So I think the Vikings are the better team. And so the way that this line is structured is saying that if you flipped home fields, so if this was at Minnesota, it would be what, -3 for the Vikings?
Yeah, pretty much right around there, yeah.
Doesn't that feel like a gift?
It does. I think if you like the Vikings that much, screw the 3 points and moneyline it.
Yeah, I think
take the extra juice there. Saint -8.5 against Eagle. It's really hard for me.
You're starting to pay a premium on the Saints, I think.
Yeah, and especially Saints at home. But
I also don't want to get in the way of it.
No, they're so good right now. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, they're in that upper echelon right now, and the Eagles aren't. But 8.5 points, it's kind of like, I probably would not play this. But, again, if you're playing a pool or something, you got to take somebody. I'd probably lean Saint here. I'm not going to, you know, like I said, don't get in the way of the train.
Are the Eagles in desperation mode?
I think they are. I don't know that it's going to matter. They suck in the secondary, and they had another injury last week. And guess what the Saints can do?
That's where I would end up falling. Again, it's probably a pass for me, but gun to head, I'm on Saints.
Colts -1.5 at home against Titans.
I love the Colts here. I
number
think,
down from 3.
Yeah, I mean the lower. I mean, obviously, I'm loving it more the lower it gets, but I think the Colts are better. I really do, and I mean, in today's NFL, I'm going to take the good offensive team over the good defensive team, and I know the Colts are a legit good offensive team. I think the Titans are good defensively. They seem like fool's gold because their offense is so meh. So yeah. I'm just not buying into them. I like the Colts here.
I'm with you for a little bit different reason. For one thing, the Colts' offensive line is playing as well as anybody. We talked about that a little bit. Three straight games without a sack of luck.
I think it's four straight games.
I think it's three. But whatever. He's got a long time without getting sacked. And the Titans, when you look at it, have played kind of three peak games in a row here. The London trip where they should have beaten the Chargers. Then they come back and beat the Cowboys.
Yeah.
In Dallas in prime time. And then they house the Patriots. And I think the value here is on the other side at this point because, frankly, off of that, shouldn't the Titans be favored?
You would think.
And so I think that tells you where Vegas is leaning. So I'm kind of with you on this. I think Titans can get after the quarterback. I do think Luck gets sacked this week.
Okay.
But I also think that the Colts are improving, and the more that he can do on offense, the more they can protect that defense. And the Titans can't hurt you that much on offense, despite what happened last week. So I'm leaning with you on that one. I don't know that I would have said this when I saw the line. I may be leaning Texan -3 against Redskin.
I think you have to. And here's my only concern is that the offense plays like crap because I feel like on the defensive side of the ball, the Texans have a massive advantage because Washington is so banged up.
Right.
It's a low total. What are you showing the current total at?
42.
I like the under 42.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. This feels like 17-14.
Right. So it doesn't feel like a game where there's a lot of points scored. I don't think I'm going to take a side, especially I don't think the Texans are good enough to be three-point favorites on the road.
Well, because I could easily see this being a push. I think that number is right what it probably should be. Texans offense, if you get QT back, you've got Thomas with a full couple of weeks to learn the offense. They should be able to throw the football. You know Hopkins is going to get his. I don't think they'll run the ball very well against the Redskins because the Redskins are pretty good there.
But I don't think the Redskins will run the ball very well either.
I don't think they'll be able to run. And I do think the Texans defense can get to Alex Smith.
This
feels like the Broncos game to me.
Yeah, I haven't liked the Texans against the spread very much this year. This is one where I am leaning towards them. I still think Vegas kind of gives the Texans more respect than they should get. But the Redskins are just such a mess right now. I can't play with them. The under is a play. The lean is on the Texans.
Bucks, Giants -1.5. I won't touch it, but I'd lean Giant, actually.
Same here.
Broncos, Chargers -7 at home against Bronco. I think Bronco may be broken now.
I think so, too. I think they're done. Case Keenum's – listen, this isn't meant to be like a grand statement that Case Keenum's not a good football player. Case Keenum's not a good quarterback in the NFL in 2018. And Phillip Rivers is having a borderline MVP caliber season. The Chargers are legit, and I think that the Chargers have kind of – I think both of us have looked at them like, do we want to buy into them yet?
But they went in and beat Seattle at Seattle, and then they took care of business the way they were supposed to against the Raiders.
I think you got to start taking them seriously.
Yeah, I was a little skeptical, especially that London game where the Titans outplayed them, frankly.
And their defense,
they should have lost that game.
Everyone said, Joey Bosa's not there. How good can they be on defense? Let me tell you, even without Joey Bosa, those guys can play.
They're above average.
Yeah.
No question. Raiders, Cardinals, this is one if you like betting trash.
I'm not betting that game.
No, me either. But Cardinals -5.5. I would
never give 5.5 points with the Cardinals, and I don't want to bet the Raiders, so no.
But if you make me pick one, I'll take the Raiders.
I picked in the Niners-Raiders game, and I picked wrong, so I'm out on that.
Steelers -5.5 at Jags. I think the Jags are imploding. I like the Steelers here.
I do too. I think the Jags are they're better than 5.5 point home dogs against the Steelers. But I also think that the Jags bubble may have burst last week because I don't think they can make the playoffs now. I think that they're looking up at three teams ahead of them in the division. And all three teams are better than them.
Here's the dirty little secret. Blake Bortles has not been good, but their defense isn't good.
Yeah.
And that's been the problem. They have not been the defense they were last year, in addition to Bortles. I think Steelers have got it together. So I like Steelers here. And then Monday night, I like the Rams. I mean, I like Chiefs at +3.5 a lot against the Rams.
Yeah, 3.5, that's a lot. I don't know if I'm betting against the Rams because, like I said, I still think they're the best team in the league. But I'm not betting against the Chiefs, and I'm definitely not giving 3.5 points. So I don't blame you for your side.
Yeah.
If anything, I tend to think the under may be the play here. I think both teams are going to want to run more than people think they will. So I think you'll see a lot of Todd Gurley. I think you'll see a lot of Kareem Hunt, which, I mean, those guys are going to get theirs too. But if teams are willing to run the ball regularly, it makes it really hard to get to a historically high total. And I think both these teams are comfortable running the football.
You know what, though? Here's another dirty little secret. That Rams defense, as talented as they are, they really aren't
not very
playing
good.
Well.
Neither the Chiefs defense. I mean,
the Chiefs defense, I'd never expected anything out of.
That's two pretty subpar defenses, yeah. But I do think.
But on the surface, you look at the Rams' talent, you say, oh, they're better defensively.
They should be. Well, and I think they are better defensively, but just not by the margin you would expect.
Well, they're not a dominant defense. They're a slightly above average defense.
But I do think when you consider ball control and who's going to be willing to run the football, I think that this game is going to be hard to go over that massive number.
What was Major Applewhite showing under his shirt? It looked like he had a bomb there or something. What the hell? All right, guys, I have to tell you about Lightstream. Holidays are coming. You need to save some money. And you may be thinking about how you're going to do it. Well, here's a unique way to maybe save some money here. Consolidate your high-interest credit card balances to a lower rate and save with Lightstream. And the cool thing is your credit card numbers, man, those APRs are way up there. Well, Lightstream's going to offer credit card consolidation loans from 6.14% APR with AutoPay. And the national average credit card rate is over 19%. So if you've got good credit, you can get in there, get the lower rate, save a bunch of money. Depending on how much you have on those cards, you could save hundreds to thousands of dollars, and that's more money you can spend on the holidays. The application's 100% online. There's no fees. They believe that people with good credit deserve a great interest rate. And right now, Blitzers can save even more with an additional interest rate discount. The only way to get this discount is to go to lightstream.com/Fred. LIGHTSTREAM.com/Fred. Subject to credit approval. Rate includes 0.50% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/Fred for more information. Move on you only if they know what your weaknesses. I have none. Too late to grab. Guys, if you're driving around in the city of Houston, at some point you're going to be in an accident. It could be a car accident, 18-wheeler accident, industrial accident, workplace, slip and fall. Or maybe you wind up in the hospital and you get hurt by bad drugs, by a doctor, hospital negligence. There's one guy to call, and he's on the line right now. Lawyer Dave, what happens to me if I get in an accident on the way home? What am I supposed to do?
Well, if you're able to take pictures of the accident before you move the cars, do that first and call the cops second. And then if you have a conversation with the person that caused the accident, if you can at all turn on the record feature of your telephone, do that next.
See, those are great tips, and I'm going to do that, and then I'm going to call you, right?
You're going to better dial Dave, Houston-based lawyer Dave. Call me at 713-626-8900, or hit me up on my website, lawyerdave.com, or what's my Twitter handle, Fred?
At LawyerDaveLaw. We finally got that right.
You bet. That's right, and that's where the Blitzers mostly find me, because you, my friend, are the one helping me promote that way of getting in touch with me.
And, you know, they don't have to pay you a dime, right? You don't charge for consultations. You only get paid if they win. So if you can't get a doctor, you're going to hook them up with one. So they definitely need to call you, right?
Well, absolutely, Fred. If somebody doesn't have money for medical care, we will get them to a doctor without any money up front. If they want to come talk to me or email me or hit me up on Twitter, all that stuff is free. All the consultations are free because I want the people to know they have access to a lawyer that's going to do their best to answer their questions. And if I can help them, I will. And if they need somebody else to help them, I'll find that lawyer for them.
And if you can't remember at Lawyer Dave Law, you can always hit me up on Twitter and I'll give you the number and I'll give you the website. Give them that number one more time, Dave.
713-626-8900, Fred. Thanks so much.
All right. Need a lawyer? Better dial Dave.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from Jackson's Grill House and Bar, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on Sports Map 94.1.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz, and I have a giveaway for the people. At 6:55, we'll take the 10th caller, and you'll get two tickets to WWE Raw, which returns to Toyota Center December 3rd, to broadcast live to the world from Houston. You'll not only see Raw Women's Champion Ronda Rousey return to Houston, but Seth Rollins, Dean Ambrose, and more. Tickets to WWE Raw are still available. They start at just $20. Get yours at toyotacenter.com. All right, probably have time for a short Hoffman on Hollywood.
Yeah, I found a list of Stan Lee's 100 most important characters.
Ooh.
And I wanted to go through and see if you wanted to have any debate on them.
Okay.
I'm not going to go through all of them because there's just too damn many.
Right.
100. But we'll go with the top 15, and I'll mention notably Jean Grey at number 19 is atrocious and a travesty. She's like the best woman superhero ever.
Okay.
Norman Osborn, number 15.
That's too high.
Jung, do you know who Norman Osborn is?
Yes.
This is your Comic-Cast test.
Yeah, he's the Green Goblin.
Green Goblin,
yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
What about Henry McCoy?
That's the Beast.
That is the Beast from X-Men. What about Max Eisenhart?
Not familiar with that one.
I'm not either, honestly.
Yeah.
That one threw me.
Yeah.
I thought maybe you were going to help me out here, but
he's a lawyer.
Yeah, come on. Max Eisenhart is Magneto.
Oh, okay. I would rather just have the name of the damn character. I don't know the Max Eisenhart.
Well, listen, this is just the way they do it.
Well, right? they should have done it in a way that works for me.
Magneto is a good villain, though.
Yeah,
that is it.
Yeah, but yeah, might be a little high.
Who remembered Max Eisenhart? What about Jonathan Storm?
Jonathan Storm? Isn't that the Human Torch?
That is the Human Torch. That's not the guy who feels you can move on this game as if it's already been played.
Yeah.
That's Jonathan Stone. Charles Xavier, Scott Summers, Matthew Murdock, also known as Daredevil, Stephen Strange, Doctor Strange, of course.
Too low.
Victor Von Doom at number 7.
About right.
Ben Grimm, who is Thing from the Fantastic
Best
Four.
Best of the Fantastic Four.
Well, not according to this list.
What?
Number 5, Thor Odinson.
Okay.
Number 4, Reed Richards, Mr. Fantastic.
I'll take Grimm over Richards.
Number 3, Bruce Banner.
Fair.
The Hulk. Number 2, Tony Stark.
Fair.
And number 1, Peter Parker, the Spider-Man.
I don't think I disagree with any of the top ones there, except for Reed Richards.
And then I had another story about there's going to be like a hip-hop talent show called Rhythm and Flow with Cardi B, Chance the Rapper, and T.I. judging. Jong, any interest in that?
Yeah, a little bit. I like Chance the Rapper.
No, not me. I got no interest in that.
All right. Guys, check this place out, Jackson.
You really should. It's awesome.
Yeah. We'll see you tomorrow. Until then, stay sports, you bitches.